Life is. Continuing always with the theme about your life, my life as an individual. Your life, my life, is under God's control. Now, do you hear me? Your life is under God's control. When God looks at you and He looks at me, He knew before time what He was going to be having us to do. That makes you important. I've told you that ever since I have been here. You are so important to God that His Son came to die for you personally. And God says, now, I have something that I want you to do. We call it ministry. Ministering one to another. We call it love. Loving one another. And God says, this is what I want you to do with the body that I have given you to travel on planet Earth. Here's how I want you to use yourself. I want you to listen to me. And as you listen to me, I will direct you to take that human physical body of yours from place to place and pay attention, he says, and I'll give you what you need to say when you get there. Now we get anxious. I mean, we like things, if I'm going to go do something, I want it planned out, and this is what's going to happen when I get there. Well, you know, God popped my bubble on that one from the very first sermon I ever preached. It wasn't anything close to being what I had written out on some cards about what I was going to say. Didn't even come close, Brother Randy. Because God says, I want you to put yourself in the position to where I direct you, and I want you to let me speak through you. The world does not need any more of our individual wisdom. The world needs the voice of God. The world needs to hear the truth of Almighty God. He said, don't you dare call that which is evil good, or that which is good evil. When you do that, then you have just challenged God. You have just challenged God at His loving word. God loves you. Trust Him. Trust Him. You can. Not only does God have your back, He has every situation in your life right in front of Him, and He will give you the protection that you're going to need. Do you ever ask yourself, I wonder why I got in this mess again? How do I keep getting in this mess? Then we look into life and we see the temptations of life itself and what pulls us into the world. And every time we get pulled in and all the horror and hell of that world truly does hit us, then we cry out, Lord, please help me out of this mess one more time, Lord. Oh, there's so many one more times. But do you know Jesus is there every time? Amen. And the reason He is because you are under God's control. Yes, God created you. And God says, I am going to see what's going on with you. Doesn't mean that nothing bad's going to happen to you. What it means is, woe on the one that perpetrated that which is bad against you. But praise God that He's the one who is watching over you and will lead you through that bad. Sometimes bad times lead us to victory. You know, I never dreamed that the COVID virus would bring out the good that it has brought out. We see the educational system, what went on. It uncovered more things that we would have never known about. We got to hear and witness what was being taught in our classroom. I'm thinking, I don't want to say anything good about COVID because it has killed people. But do you know something? It has not killed nearly as many people as the evil that is out there has killed. You destroy the heart of an individual that sees themselves as useless or worthless. How dare we to look at an unborn child and say that child doesn't have a right to exist or to be born. Oh no, we don't need that child, or we don't need that class of a child, is what they're saying. God is in control. God will use the meek and the mild and the weak to confound all of these self-proclaimed brilliant people that are in the world. If they're so brilliant, how come they don't know God? Because even the most foolish of nature realize that God exists. Even the animals know God. They don't have the freedom to choose right or wrong, but you do. I do. That's the gift from God. Listen to Romans 8:28. I want you to hear it in a special way this morning. We know that all things work together for the good. That's the way we learn it in the old King James and all, which is fine. But I want to give you the true, let's say, translation here that's going to let you hear exactly how your life is. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good. Things don't work for the good. Things don't care about you. God works for the good. God works the things that exist out in your life. God works. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Now you say, well, I don't love the Lord like I ought to love the Lord. Well, let me throw this one at you. I want you to understand something. Love is a gift from God. You didn't go to God because you love God. No, you didn't. You went to God because He first loved you. God initiated contact with you. You came under conviction. But now, preacher, I've been under conviction many times in my life. Well, it's just like the pastor. But that conviction didn't, maybe not have changed anything for years. But then you came under conviction of your sinful state, and you say, Lord, I believe. And when you do that, when you accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then God has got your mind in a teaching frame to where you can learn to love God better. We will find out in the scriptures that the younger women were told by the older women in the Hebrew family, said, now I want you younger women to listen up to the older women as they teach you how to love your husband. It ain't easy loving us, girls. It's a difficult task. It takes a lot of training for us. It takes a Holy Spirit reeling up to let us know about that love and how to grow in love and how to receive love. If you have hardened your heart to the point that you won't accept love from others, you will not give your love to others. Do you hear that? You have to learn first to accept. Folks, you're lovable, so accept the love that's headed your way. Accept God's love. God said, I love you just like you are. But I don't want you staying that way, Larry, so it'll be me that will direct you on the new path for life. A lot of folks I've looked up to in my ministry. Many of them have already gone on to be with the Lord, and I'll see soon. But I'll tell you something, folks. Love is what gets you and I through. It'll be the love of Christ in us, teaching us how to love one another. Teaching us to go in into a family reunion or whatever. But in that family reunion, you've got love for the family members. Well, let me tell you, every Sunday when you and I meet together right here at Vine Grove Baptist Church, my heart pours out with love. My heart aches for Bob Woosley and my members, my friends, and knowing that they have to suffer because of foolishness and because of the prejudices that man has for their fellow man. Listen, my heart aches. What do you do, preacher? I'll tell you what I do. I tell God on them. I tell God on them. I have watched God in action in my individual life and in the lives of so many others. So when I come to a wall like that, I tell God, Lord, look at this, and watch God bring into the open. So therefore, God says, I'm going to work everything in your life. Even though it was meant for your harm, God said, I'm going to work it for your good. Even though it was meant to embarrass you because you profess being a Christian, God said, I'm going to turn it around and my name is going to be glorified because you are a Christian. You see, Christ accepts us the way we are. He accepts my faults and my failures because he knows the chips that ain't working up here. He knows the weaknesses. He knows all of that, and he yet loves me. God's control. Even our dry bones will live again. Now, I'm going to tell you the Ezekiel story here, but I want you to understand that God has sent Ezekiel to his people, to Israel, to let them know, as a nation, you people are dead. As a nation, and when I'm studying this and going back for research and all, so many times I see the United States of America pulling away from the Christian values, backing away from the truth of God, seeking pleasure more than God's face, seeking the ways of the world until God turns people over to a reprobate mind to do those things, the scripture says, which are unseemly, which are not even humanly acceptable in so many cases. So God will turn them over to a reprobate mind. But he's looking. Ezekiel, I want you to go, and I want you to look at these dry bones in the valley. The dry bones represented a whole nation, a nation that had pulled away from God. You know what their sin was? You know what the Jewish sin was? God said, you are my people, my special people. You're called by my name. You go tell the world, the Gentile, either you're a Jew or you're a Gentile. If you're Jewish, you're not a Gentile. If you're a Gentile, you're not a Jew. So he said, I want you to take my truth, God said. God created everyone. But he chose his nation, Israel, and said, now you go tell them about me. Tell them that I love them too. You know what that nation did? No. You're our God. No. We're not going to accept these heathens. No, you're our God. God gave them warning after warning after warning until as a nation they were overthrown time and time again and they become as dead bones. Look at many churches today. It's not the number of people that attend the churches. It's whether they got a spark of a heart in them. A lot of people can gather together and pray, sing, and shout and go home on Monday and leave the Savior out. That happens all the time. It's not that. It's the heart of the ones that are there. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. There's my church, the Lord says, where two or three are gathered. In my name, there am I right in the midst of you. So therefore, God says, I want you to know, under my control, even those dry bones. But Ezekiel, come, go with me. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 3. The hand of the Lord, Ezekiel says, was upon me. The hand of the Lord was upon me. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. Remember Apostle Paul, those of you who study Scripture at all or not, Paul said that he was taken to the third heaven or in the presence of God himself. He was taken. And Paul would said, you know, whether by spirit or whether it's physical. Now, I want you to listen to me on this. It was so real. It was so much of meaning he, Paul, was there. And he said, I don't know whether I was in my physical body or whether it was spirit. You see the realness of all of that? He said, but I was there. I was looking around. I was there. And Paul gets excited. Ezekiel says, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. Remember me saying just about every Sunday anymore, I let you know that you are a spirit who has a body. You're not a body that has a spirit. You are a spirit that's been given this physical body for planet Earth, but you got other places to visit other than Earth soon. And God says, I got you the body just perfect for you traveling. One day working up to the glorified body that I'm going to give you. The glorified body being just like his son. Woo! What a blessing. What a joy, an offer. What a touch by the master. Ezekiel, go with me. And he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones, Ezekiel said. He led me back and forth among them. How's that for a walk? And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. It was covered, strictly bones of the people who had rejected, causing the fall of the greatest nation, God's nation. But no other nation could do it until God said okay and brought them down. They were at the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. I mean, that nation been dead a long time, Brother Randy. And very dry, meaning completely pushing out what God says, to choose their own wisdom, their own way of thinking, their own. They were calling that which was evil good, and that which was good evil, which is no for God. Bones that were very dry. He asked me, God asked him, son of man, can these bones live? Look at them. Hey, Ezekiel, they dry, aren't they? Can they live? They're pretty dry, Lord. Can they live? Ezekiel said, I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Now, here's what I want you to understand about this scripture. Because it's fun to preach on the dry bones. But I want you to understand the base history of this. God is taking him to show him the nation Israel, of how the nation had fallen and collapsed. And God had showed him this so that he would understand that nation was born by my word. God chose them. Do you know who Israel were? The people they were before God chose as Israel or as the Jewish nation, his people? They were the leftovers from all the other tribes that existed on planet Earth. They were the castaways. They were the ones that no other tribes wanted. God said, I'm going to make me a great nation, and he used the leftovers from all other nations, those that the other nations didn't want, and God said, and I will make you great. As they followed the Lord, they were blessed beyond imagination. No enemy, no army could overtake them. God intervened. God told them to go to the front line of the battle. They went to the front line, and God would always say, now stand and watch as I win the war for you. And God has always offered that to any nation that will follow him, any nation, any individual that will trust their heart into his hands. Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will make breath enter you. This is a prophecy. And you will come to life. Once again, God says, I will make you the nation I called you to be. I will give you salvation, for it is through my Son, no other name under heaven which a person will ever see heaven other than that of Jesus Christ. No other name has the power or the authority. Now you prophesy this, Ezekiel. If you read that story, you'll find that the bones started clicking. They started rattling. They started coming back together. But here's you the fact of the story. That deals with once again becoming the great nation. No, it didn't happen in 1948 when Israel became a nation. This prophecy speaks of the second coming of Jesus Christ. At that time, when Christ reigns for 1,000 years on this earth, which he will, on this earth, the one that's falling apart, on this earth, the one in which you are living and standing. When Christ comes, he said, I will reign on the throne of David for 1,000 years. That's the period of time that when God will bring back together his chosen people, the Jewish nation. But you see, we live in the generation now of grace. Oh, it's an awesome generation. Even people like me can be saved. Even people like me gets to experience the touch of the Master's hand as he reaches down and he touches our heart. And he says, all things, God works for the good. God will work all things for your good. It may seem like your world's falling apart today, but God will work it for your good. God will take those parts and he will create the weapon that is needed for your protection because you said yes to his son, Jesus, your family. And God does not turn his back on family. Oh, there are many things that I wished I could do that I can't. Physically, mentally, emotionally, or anything else. You know, getting around certain people just is an emotional drain for me. They don't see any hope. But God will send me right there to let them know there's hope in Jesus. You only see what this world is allowing you to see, what your mistakes have allowed you to uncover about you. Sometimes you get to see, in looking at your own life and your past existence, growing up and all, you get to see the Master's hand right there, leading you on. When others meant you harm, it was God who delivered you. When others said you can't do it, God who looks at you and says, you've already done it. I see it in heaven. Now go to and be about your Father's business. Your Father is God. He is the one that has given you life and given you breath. He has assigned each one of us to, as a task, to take care of one another. And as He assigns us, He stays with us. Under God's control, Christians are guaranteed passage to be with Jesus. Now, Gospel of John chapter 17, which is the priest chapter. Jesus, that's a prayer. Chapter 17, starting with verse 1, I think it goes through verse 26, but Gospel of John chapter 17, you read it. First part of that chapter, he deals with praying for himself, Jesus. Second part, he prays for his disciples. The third part, this is a prayer Jesus prayed for you and me. This is Jesus' prayer to God the Father. And I want you to understand something. Jesus never prayed a prayer that God didn't answer. You hear me? Jesus never prayed a prayer that God didn't answer. Listen, John 17, 14. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. That's us. Jesus said that God the Father gave us to Him. And to see my glory, the glory you have given me. This is Jesus. Because you loved me before the creation of the world. I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. You're guaranteed. Jesus asked for it. God the Father never denied. Not one request from Jesus. When I said yes to Jesus, I'm guaranteed to be with Jesus. Because Jesus prayed for me. Oh, that's prayer, isn't it? We like when our name is mentioned like that. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And as He's sitting there, He is talking to God the Father about you, each one of us. Lord, I know he made a mistake. Lord, I know she did it wrong. Lord, that's my brother. That's my sister. That's the power of ultimate love of God. And God says, I want you to understand something. I am under control of your life. What happens, I may not have caused it, but I will be there for you to straighten the mess out. We're given life to live, and we are the only ones of His creation that have the freedom of choice. God will not make us serve Him, but He sure bless us when we do. That's God's word. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name, giving you thanks, dear Lord God, for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for life. Oh, Father, help us now as we help one another. Give us the strength, the courage, and the boldness, Lord, that we might continue to stand strong for your world, for your word, for your truth, for your people. Help us, Father, to help one another, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.